Yes, here we go, another week NRL Live, episode 53, a huge week in rugby league. We're going to talk about it all over the next half an hour or so, wrap up last week's results, look at this week in league, coaches on the hot seat. I'm going to go through the names. Tigers and Mess and St. Peter are going to say whether they will still be here come next year. A full Origin preview, both teams have now been announced. We'll see who's going to win game three, the decider, plus four round 18 games. We'll talk about that. And of course, all the Supercoach information that's going to help you win your round in Supercoach. It is coming towards finals times now, so it's a great time to really listen in and get that info. And Pete's got a great world of sport for us as well. Speaking of Pete, how are you, mate?
Oh, mate. I'm still recovering from that horrible loss on Saturday at Cogra, but yeah, mate, I'm here. I'm glad to be part of the show.
Mate, I'm wondering who was wearing the white boots. And Tigers MS with us, of course, and unfortunately Tigers MS, the West Tigers also going down this weekend.
Yeah, no, it was a stinky first half performance, and they picked it up a little bit in the second half, but the damage was done by that stage, and yeah. They forgot to tackle in the middle of the field.
Well, it seemed like Tigers of old a little bit. Let's go straight into those results of round 17. On Friday night, of course, the Melbourne Storm 32 defeated the Broncos 0. Bit of a whitewash there, while Cronulla 36 overcame a bit of a second half fight back by the Tigers 22. Saturday saw another 0 scoreline. The Roosters 36 defeated the Dragons 0, as we alluded to at the start of the show, while the Panthers 40 going up to Darwin and taking care of the home team, in inverted commas, Titans 18. Sunday footy, the Raiders 26 defeated the Cowboys 18. Probably not a true reflection of the scoreline. The Canberra Raiders were quite dominant. The Knights 18 overcame the Dogs 12 up in Mackay. Good win for Newcastle there and on a bit of a roll. While Souths 30 overcame a quite a gallant New Zealand Warriors 13. We talked about the Raiders Cowboys game, maybe not a true reflection of the scoreline. Neither was that one. Souths got away with it at the end, but New Zealand were game, and they look like they do have the ball game to maybe topple the high-flying South Sydney. While Monday night football, speaking of high-flying, Manly, Warringah Seagulls returned to form with a 50-10 drubbing over the Parramatta Eels. Let's look at last week's game from a Supercoach perspective. It was George Tafua's day. He broke out with 156 points. Here's a guy that maybe we said at the start of the year was really going to put up those big numbers. He's a very strong player in general, even named in Origin circles potentially, although that ended up going to James McManus, as we'll discuss later on the show. But Tafua, from a Supercoach perspective, finally putting up those big numbers, and his cash has skyrocketed as a point as of this week. Andrew Fifita, well, we predicted it, and we'll talk about predictions in a moment, but 141, great result for him. And Brett Stewart also finding some form with 112 against the lacklustre Eels. As predicted last week, Andrew Fifita was our buy of the week. If you go online to www.polygsports.com, you'll see our buy of the week, or on Twitter at polygsports, or at Tigers MS78, and he scored 141, so he let no one down. We almost always mentioned the teams that play the Eels when the Eels are playing away, and Manly players went large, six in the top 17 overall. Dally Cherry Evans was a guy that we mentioned specifically. He scored 95 for 11th overall. And Maurice Blair, another guy we mentioned for the Storm, 13th overall. The sleeper of the round, James Roberts, 119 points for him, 3rd overall. Great result. It was mentioned on our website, so do keep an eye out there later in the week as we do our further research after the podcast is recorded. We'll come up with some of these sleeper names, and James Roberts was on that list, and he sure did the business up in Darwin. What we learned when Parramatta play away, that's the time to load up on home team players, as I said earlier. Josh Papali is coming home strongly. He's a must play for the finals. Cam Smith's form's unquestionable, but there is question marks over his game time. He will miss the next 2 weeks thanks to Origin and then a Melbourne bye. Brand new segment on the podcast now, and it's called Hot or Cold. We have a look at the barometer, and that's looking at players that are performing above average or below their regular season average as of this time of year. Well, Jamie Bure is one that is averaging almost 30 points a game higher than his season average in the last month. Josh Reynolds and Elijah Taylor are both putting in hot form in that 27 to 28 points above their regular scores. Jonathan Thurston and Adam Reynolds are two hot buys. They're in the top 10 in our barometer rankings. However, JT is $54,000 cheaper, despite putting up near identical numbers in the last month. The fact he can play 5/8 also makes him a bit of an edge over Adam Reynolds. After a hot start in the top grade, Isaac John has fallen away. He averages 18 points a game less than his big early numbers. While Cooper Cronk is one Origin player not able to take his form back to club level, he's averaging over 20 points less than his early season average. After returning from injury with a bang, Mark Minicello has not been able to get going, also averaging 20 points less than his season average of 49.2 in the last 4 weeks. Of course, you can get all the Supercoach information at Paulie G Sports, www.pauliegsports.com, or on Twitter at Paulie G Sports, and we'll tweet out all the last minute information as well for the games that you need to make sure you win each week. Let's keep moving along to this week in league, and it's going to be coaches on the hot seat, a pretty cool segment this one. Who is safe and who'll be gone for 2014? I'll mention the names and Pete and Tigers MS will give their opinions. We'll start at the very top of the country. Pete, Neil Henry.
I think he could be in trouble. If they miss Dave, I think he's in trouble. Gone.
Tigers MS, do you agree?
Yeah, if they miss the eight, he's out the door.
Staying in Queensland, Anthony Griffin, Tigers MS.
He'll stay. I mean, as we all know, he's got the full support of the board. So we know what that means. But I think he'll stay till midway through next year if nothing improves.
Pete, what do you think?
The news is that, yeah, Tigers are a mess. I'm speculating about the support of the board and what that means, but he's also got the support of Darren Lockyer. Lockyer's been here, the chief exec, and Griffin will be there next year.
Yeah, usually when the board comes out and support, the next day they're gone, aren't they? Stay in Queensland still, that's John right. Cartwright. Pete.
Part of the problem with getting rid of coaches is the having to pay it out. John Cartwright is signed up until the end of the, at least the 2015, if not 2016. Right. So no, he will be there. He's actually there till the end of 2016. Gold Coast reported money troubles last year. He'll be there. They're doing okay without being brilliant. So no, he'll be there.
Yeah, a couple of bad losses recently, but John Cartwright, is he safe, Tigers MS?
Yeah, I think he's safe. I think they're playing better than anyone expected them to. For this season, so people are going to expect an improvement next year, so we might see some trouble there if the results don't eventuate.
A guy who was definitely on the hot seat last year, but the team that he coached made the eight, is David Ferner, Tigers MS. Is his job in trouble if they can't learn to win away from home?
Look, they've got to do something about the away record, but honestly, I don't think there's much better candidates out there. Ferner's got a bit of a foothold in there anyway, with the whole CEO being his brother. I can't see him being removed unless he does it himself.
Pete?
They're doing okay at the moment. The Raiders continuing to win at home, he said, problem away. But no, I think he'll be there next year. But I agree that incestuous business of his brother being the chief executive does, I think, create an issue in that club.
A team close to your heart, Pete, and is the Dragons, obviously, and their coach, Steve Price. Is he on the hot seat right now?
Well, he has a contract for next year, which he signed on Anzac Day, which they lost to the Roosters 32-10 or 34-10, whatever it was. My personal opinion is I think he will be there next year. The Dragons aren't a club usually in the habit of cutting a coach's contract short, so I think he'll be there next year, but you'll want to get results very early next year to guarantee spot beyond 2014.
Tigers and MS, the rumours were that Steve Price and the Dragons needed to perform against the Roosters, and they absolutely didn't. Is he gone?
No, I think he'll stay unless they've got someone in their coaching staff who can take over. But they've got rid of the problem that they had in terms of Jamie Soward not getting on with the coach by the seams of things. It seems like Price has got his way with a few things, so I guess they're going to want to see some results very soon.
Finally, Tigers MS, the team that you and I both support, the West Tigers. New coach Mick Potter, been under the gun pretty much all year. Is he safe in that role at the moment?
You've got to say so. I mean, the Tigers are pretty much, well, according to all reports, seemingly paying for half of the league. I can't see them getting another coach, and it'd be foolish to do so, given that Potter really hasn't had a shot with his roster.
Pete, do you feel the same way?
Yeah. Once again, I think it might be a matter of affordability. I think because apparently they are still paying Tim Sheens. I think that he'll definitely be. And it's his first year, and the Tigers have shown some improvement over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I think they'll be there next year. Whether Benji will be though with him is another question.
Well, let's talk about that situation a bit more. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago when I did the show solo. Benji Marshall, there's rumours going about today that he's not going to the Waratahs, and any time that there's rumours going around that can't be confirmed, they usually come out and say, blah, 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 he's not doing this. Pete, what do you make of these crazy rumours? Is he going to rugby next year? I mean, he's under contract for the next 2 years, but he's not signed an upgrade, he's not signed an extension.
Waratahs rumour is a new one to me. I heard the other day he was going to play for the Auckland Blues. Is it in the... Or for one of the New Zealand based teams in the rugby union competition.
Well.
That's a new one for me. Robbie Farah's come out and said that he obviously wants Benji to stay. My personal opinion is I think he will stay after all this. They seem to shop themselves around and realise that rugby league's a better game and end up staying. I think my prediction is I reckon he'll stay.
Tigers a mess a couple of weeks ago. The rumour came out via the Daily Telegraph. It was either going to be the coach or Benji. Seemingly, Mick Potter's safe. Is Benji unsafe?
No, look, I think the Tigers will try to keep Benji, and Benji will want to stay with the Tigers if he stays in rugby league. I can't imagine him playing for another club in the NRL. If he does go, then he should go with grace. If he doesn't go... then he stays and tells everyone that he's staying as soon as possible. But in Benji's defence, he did have a deal made up that got null and voided once the CEO left, so you can understand his trepidation with that and with the Tigers' track record on contracts.
Yeah, it's a club with a lot going on at the moment, the West Tigers, and of course... as any news comes to light, we'll mention it here on NRL Live. You can find us at the website, www.paulygsports.com, of course. Download the show via iTunes. Just look up NRL Supercoach and you will find us. Origin preview time, guys. Game 3. Let's look at the two teams. New South Wales have picked Josh Dugan at fullback. Brett Morris is on the wings with James McManus. Michael Jennings and Josh Morris, the centres. James Maloney, 5'8". Mitchell Pearce, halfback. Paul Gallen named as captain at prop with James Tamau. Robbie Farah, the hooker. Luke Lewis and Ryan Hoffman, second row. Greg Bird at lock is an injury cloud over Greg Bird. Andrew Fifita, Anthony Watmale, Trent Merrin, Josh Reynolds, Aaron Woods and Boyd Corder named on an extended bench. We've already seen Jared Hayne pulling out, hence why McManus comes into the side. And Tigers MS, you were one to say that McManus should never play Origin again, but I guess after his 4-try effort a couple of weeks ago, he's burst into contention and now, thanks to the Hayne injury, is playing.
The big karma monster came and got me there. I don't know. I mean... Honestly, there's probably better players, but I guess the best guy for the job is out suspended indefinitely at the moment, so they've got to go with what they go with, and you might not go with a guy in form. I really hope, and this is nothing against Josh Reynolds, that they leave him out and either put in Woods or Boyd Cordner. So they have a bit more forward power off the bench. I felt that Reynolds was wasted, and it also took Robbie Farah off the field, which took another attacking weapon who's in good form off the park for the Blues. Look, I think they can win this one. It's going to be a very close one, and it's going to be possibly one of those games that gets talked about in the future.
Well, let's hope it's talked about for the right reasons. Let's go through the Queensland squad now and then I'll also talk about the referees. There has been a change at the referees, but no change for the Queensland squad. Billy Slater, fullback, Darius Boyd, Brent Tate on the wings, Greg Inglis, Justin Hodges in the centres, Jonathan Thurston, 5'8", Cooper Cronk, halfback, Matt Scott, Nate Miles, the props, Cameron Smith, hooker and captain, Chris McQueen, Sam Dide in the back row with Corey Parker locking the scrum, Dally Cherry Evans, Ben Teo, Matt Gillette, Josh Papali, the bench with 8th man, Jacob Lilliman and Pete. Queensland have been so dominant for so long that they've got to come into enemy territory, take this decider. Is this New South Wales' best chance of the last 8 years?
I think that New South Wales are a chance, but I think with the injury cloud hanging over the captain, Paul Gallen, and also Greg Bird, let's not forget this man's contribution to this team of the last couple of years. He's tackling one-on-one in the first game in particular is very, very good. Hmm. I honestly don't think that New South Wales have got the ability to beat this Queensland team in game three. Queensland were right off the game in game one. New South Wales played particularly well in the first half, and the only difference was 14-6. Said Cameron Smith's try not been a double movement, could have been a completely different result in game one, and we could be looking at a wrapped up series 2-0 at the moment. I think that Queensland, as I said, just got a rocket from Mal before the second match. Their forwards came out and showed how a forward pack should operate. They were on top from right from the beginning in game two. And I expect them to come out fired up exactly the same way in game three. Queensland just seemed to me to be able to really grind down a match, whereas New South Wales let Queensland back into the game as they did in game one. They are also so far superior in the halves, it's not funny. Mitchell Pearce went missing in game two in Queensland. It is a massive mistake. He's not replaced by Adam Reynolds, in my opinion. And for Queensland, I think that they'll win it for these great halves through Cooper Cronk and Jonathan Thurston.
Yeah, well, I'll just mention the referees. Shane Haynes still there, but Ashley Klein has been dropped. Ben Cummins comes in for him. Look, I think every dog has its day. I know it's risky to pick against the team of the Mighty Queensland. I'm going to go the Blues. Maybe it's my heart more than my head. I am very concerned with James McManus. The fact is, Tigers are a mess, I've got to say. They just didn't have an alternative on the wing. Maybe David Williams, but he's got his flaws as well. George Tafua would have been tough popping in as pretty much a rookie there. He would have been the other option. I think Ikuiate is a guy that just hasn't been able to get on the field, so you couldn't go with him. It is going to be tough for New South Wales. As Pete mentioned, Paul Gallen is under an injury cloud. Aaron Woods was probably a bit quiet in game two, but he would serve as an able replacement, and I think he'd go better for the run in game two, to be honest. Boyd Cordner, a bit of a left field selection, I thought, in the back row. New South Wales are very, very strong in the second row department, and there's plenty of guys out there. I can think of Tarek Sims as one, but there's a number of players, maybe Felini Mateo as well, that probably would have had an inside running on Cordner at the start of the year, but he has been very good, particularly in the last few weeks. And he's a fine talent. He's got a bit of ball skills about him, so he probably wouldn't let anyone down if he has to play. But I have heard today, and it is only Tuesday when we record this, but I have heard that Greg Bird is going to be fit to play. Final word, Tigers MS, New South Wales or Queensland?
Geez, I'm just going to say Blues by one in Golden Point.
Well, that would be a game to remember if it did. Let's keep moving on the previews to this week's games. Sharks and the Broncos. The Broncos give away fourth most Supercoach points, while the Sharks are the middle of the road. Both teams are midpoint four scoring, and with Origin players out, it could be a tough week to figure out who's going to put up the numbers and not. Wade Graham's in good recent form. He's scoring 16.3, 3 points higher than his season average in the past month, while Todd Carney is almost 16 points above his average as well. The Broncos give up most points to 5/8 overall, so Carney's a must-play and maybe even a bye if you don't have him. Sharks are coming home in the top eight race, so he could be useful heading down the stretch. For the Broncos, Andrew McCulloch has been a quiet achiever all year. He's ranked 48th overall and is probably the best player for them this week behind, of course, Josh Hoffman, 34th overall. Pete, how do you see the game going?
The Broncos have been disappointing this year, I have to say. And Cronulla, although they're without their inspirational captain, they've won quite a few games without their inspirational captain. So based on that. Both teams missing a few players, but I'd have to stick with Cronulla. I think they're the team more in form. I think they'll go up there and do the job, particularly through their halves, Toa Carney, Jeff Robson. I still don't think the experiment. I think that purchasing Scott Prince by the Broncos this year was a mistake. I don't think Scott Prince and Peter Wallace have really worked all that well together. And in Brisbane, without Justin Hodges, their winning record without Justin Hodges is remarkably worse than with him. And also missing Fife in particular, and Gillett as well, are big losses. So for me, it's Cronulla all the way.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. I think the Sharks will win. Tigers MS, what do you think?
Yeah, look, I think the Sharks will win this one pretty easy. I expect Todd Carney to dominate. But like he did in the first half against the Tigers, Sharks forward pack is looking pretty good. The Broncos are looking like shot ducks at the moment, to be honest. I just really wish they had a winger or a centre with the last name of Hall, so you could have Hall and Oates in the centres there. But that's about it.
Corey Oates, keep an eye.
Yeah. If you're playing a Supercoach Broncos player, may I suggest that Ben Hannett or Josh McGuire?
Big men up front. It probably will be played up the guts as it normally is when the Sharks are involved. Eels and Panthers on Saturday, 5:30 at Parramatta Stadium. An interesting time, seeing there's only the four games this week. Well, the Eels, they were absolutely thrashed last week, but can expect a stronger showing from them against their rival Penrith, and of course they're back at home. Darcy Lussick has stepped it up in recent weeks. He's gained almost 17 points above his season average in the last month. Wingers Ken Sio and Braden Williami could be good players, especially considering it is a large bye week, so you pretty much got to play everyone you got. If you've been stuck with Kacer Pritchard over the last number of weeks because he was a cheapie, this might be the week he finally pays dividends. While Tim Manor, the only Eel playing in the top 100, he's the safest bet. Panthers, meanwhile, have been the overachievers this season. They're fourth overall in Supercoach points. And as the Eels are giving up more Supercoach points than everyone but the Raiders and Titans, it's a pretty safe bet to play all the big performers. David Simmons, James Seguiaro, Nigel Plum and Kevin Kingston come to mind. They're their top four. The Eels are lousy against the smaller, quicker men. So last week's sleeper, James Roberts, is a must play. Just make sure he's in your starting lineup. While Matt Moylan is also a play. Tigers MS, how do you see the game going from both the Supercoach perspective and also who's going to win?
Well, who's going to win? I think, you have to pick Penrith, even though Parramatta are at home, and even though these two generally put up a good show regardless of their position on the ladder. The Eels seem to have lost the plot a little bit. They got no Chris Sando this week. He's been dumped. Supercoach, play as many Panthers as you can. I think they'll cash in here. I think Parramatta are desperately waiting for the end of the season, and it's a long way off yet.
Yeah, I'm going to go a bit of an upset. I'm going to pick the Eels at home, mainly because I'm behind you guys on the points ladder. Mind you, I did beat you both last week, picking up 7 out of 8. Pete, you are the competition leader for picks, but you only got 5 last week, so Tigers MS and I are making a play, are making a run. Here you going, Eels or Panthers?
I think it's a great move by Ricky Stewart to get rid of Chris Sando. I think he should have been dropped several weeks ago. However, bringing up the ageing Ben Roberts, it's in the 5'8", is not exactly looking at Ricky Stewart's future Parramatta. Penrith have been in great form. I was quite impressed with these guys. Last week they put the cleaners through the Gold Coast. The week before they beat the Dragons in a very solid display. They've got the unlucky Tim Grant there, unlucky not to be playing for New South Wales again. Matt Moylan, what a discovery. And James Seguiaro by the year coming off the bench. Penrith 5, good 16 or 18 points out there.
Bulldogs and the Storm. Well, the Storm have certainly dipped in recent weeks. They now give up the 6th most Supercoach points after being in the top 3 stingiest teams earlier in the year. So some of the Dogs should be a play at home, even though the Bulldogs themselves aren't the best at scoring. It is a depleted Melbourne outfit, of course. James Graham's back to the bench. This is where he put up his largest numbers of the season, but he has been carrying an injury, so just buyer beware there. But obviously, if he's in your team, you've pretty much got to play him with only the 8 teams playing this week. Storm give up 2nd most against centre and wingers, however, the Dogs don't have the best centre and wingers to fight against. Chris Ninu has been in fine form. He's scoring over 15 points above his average. Could be the buy of the week. Maurice Blair is one of the form players of the comp right now. While Ben Hampton scored 70 last time he filled in for Cooper Cronk, he'd be a great cheapie at 87,500. Tigers MS, any other names pop to mind there? Maybe one Joel Romello?
Yeah, maybe Romello. He's doing the business for the Dogs there, and I think he's opposite number this week in Brett Finch as well. It's probably Brett Finch is fairly cheap. I think he's about 174,000. I think the Dogs will win this one, but I don't think they're going to have it all their own way, and I think it's going to be relatively close. From the Melbourne side, I would maybe give Ryan Hinchcliffe a shot. He'll probably play 80 minutes at hooker there.
Yeah, Slade Griffin's been moved to lock, so there's another guy a few people picked up in recent weeks who might put up good numbers. I'm going to pick the Dogs as well. Heat, can they do it at home?
You'd expect the Bulldogs to win this match. They should win it reasonably convincingly. The Melbourne Storm are very depleted, as we know, due to origin commitments. Now, to say at this point, this game is it's been completely overlooked as a grand final replay. Yes, they did play in Melbourne earlier this year, but I think it's a pretty poor marketing opportunity lost by the NRL to have a grand final replay such as this.
A very good point.
During the origin period where Melbourne are depleted, I think that's very poor marketing. To that effect, I think it looks pretty fairly one-way traffic. Like the Melbourne players will stand up and be counted as they were against the Gold Coast a couple of weeks ago, nearly pulling off an unlikely victory away. But I would expect Canterbury to win this one.
Yeah, and that's something we should talk about. I know we did mention it in the year, the NRL draw. The final rounds have come out, so it's something we might mention next week. The Cowboys and the Seagulls on Monday night footy. Well, the Cows are back at home with no Jonathan Thurston, Matt Scott, James Tamau or Brent Tate. It's probably going to be pretty difficult for them. The Eagles did hit form last week. George Tafua, David Wolfman, Williams, Brett Stewart, Kieran Foran are all must plays. They could have another big week. If you have Peter Hicko on your bench, it's your lucky day. He's been named halfback. Considering Queensland's Daly Cherry-Evans is out for Origin duty, Manly are the toughest team to score super coach points against. So only play Cowboys players if you have to. Don't pick any up this week, that's for sure. Tarek Sims has been in hot form lately but is coming off the bench, while Dallas Johnson, who's usually fairly consistent, has been dropped altogether from the team. So it's a tough time if you've got Cowboys guys in your team. Tigers MS, I think the Eagles are going to win, and do you see it going any differently?
You'd imagine the Eagles will do it. I know it was only against Parramatta, but they looked pretty good because Parramatta did play fairly well for about 50 minutes of that game last night. Yeah, in terms of players, I'd say play if you've got Jamie Lyon or the three-try Tafua from last night, play him.
They've changed his name from Tafua to Threefua, apparently.
Brenton Lawrence, Justin Horro, I think, are probably good buys as well. For the Cowboys, I think Robert Liu and maybe Glenn Hall, but geez, that'd be a big, big stretch.
Pete, it is up in North Queensland, Monday night footy. Do they have any chance, the Cowboys?
They do. I think they do. Like I've said all along, the problem with this team is they seem to have problems combining with Thurston. Everything seems to run off Thurston. Ray Thompson is a decent player in his own right, as is Robert Lewis. They were well documented issues. I would be interested to see how they combine. Don't underestimate the loss of David Cherry-Evans on the flip side for Manly as well, and also particularly of Anthony Wattmar. You have said that you really can't go past Manly at this stage. You said big win against Parramatta. I think it'll be a close game, though. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys run to within a try. But I think, and particularly the Cowboys, don't forget, still missing Matt Bowen as well.
Yeah, it's been a tough year for the North Queensland Cowboys, that's for sure. Their roster suggests they would have done a lot better, but it could be another loss for them. That's pretty much it for NRL Live. We do World of Sport at the end of each of our shows. If you're a new listener, you get to enjoy something a little bit different, a little bit weird, wild and wacky from the World of Sport. Pete's got it for this week. What did you find for us?
Well, guys, I thought we've got an Ashes series in the cricket tomorrow. And cricket, along with rugby league, are two of my, probably my two favourite sports, I think, by far, in fact. And there's one thing in cricket, there's, you know, love or hate the game. It's got some really weird and wonderful rules in it. It's a quite a unique game. There is a rule, you know, we've all been out bowled or LBW, or some of us have been at LBW in backyard matches, and court, and all of us have been run out at some point. But in the history of Test cricket, there's only been one batsman now obstructing the field. And I relate to what obstructing the field actually means, because even a lot of cricket aficionados don't really understand it. It is Law 37 of cricket, and it's defined as either batsman is out obstructing the field if he willfully obstructs or distracts the opposing side by word or action. It shall be regarded as obstruction if either batsman willfully and without the consent of the fielding side strikes the ball with his bat or person other than a hand not holding the bat after the ball has touched a fielder. If the obstruction is accidental, then it is not willful, and so the batsman cannot be given out obstructing the field. So, say for example, if a pace bowler bowls the ball, you go to hit the ball and it hits the main part of the bat and then goes up and hits the handle, that it's not obstructing, it's not obstructing the field, or, you know, coming off your person, is not obstructing the field. The striker is out should willful obstruction or distraction be the best to prevent a catch being made. This shall apply even though the striker causes the obstruction in lawfully guarding his wicket under provisions of Law 34.3. You still with me? This predecessor of this part of Law 37 was in point for the only such dismissal in Test match cricket. Typically, cricket provides the theatre. Have a listen to this. Len Hutton was playing for England against South Africa in 1951 at the Oval when the ball hit his bat handle and popped up. As the ball came down toward his stumps, he hit it away, obstructing the wicketkeeper, Russell M. Dean, from taking the catch. So he was therefore out obstructing the field upon appeal. Here's the coincidence for you guys and listeners. Coincidentally, Russell M. Dean was the first man given out handle the ball in a test match, which is basically is your hand to stop the ball from hitting hitting the stumps or from deflecting to a fieldsman. And there was a it's happened a few times in the shorter form of the game. With Yusuf Pathan, Indian player's wicket was taken in a similar way in Indian Premier League on the 15th of May. So there you go, guys. Keep an eye for obstructing the field in the next in the Test series.
I think obstructing the field.
Dave Warner plays, I think. He will obstruct Joe Root in some manner.
I would not be surprised.
Obstructing off the field is not a method of dismissal, however. Although it can be a method of missing a couple of games.
Method of getting a holiday.
Well, guys, very good show today. We had a lot to get through and done very well. Next week is Origin, of course, but we'll still be here talking about Supercoach and other NRL issues for you. So make sure you log on to the website, www.pullygsports.com. Again, as you should do each and every week, listen to the show, have a lot of fun. We also give you that insider info for Supercoach. So if you're playing Supercoach, it's a must download. Thanks, Pete, again, as always. Great show.
Absolute pleasure.
Tigers MS, we'll see you next week too.
You will.
That is all that we have time for here on NRL Live, but we will see you next week. Download the podcast at www.portagesports.com or via iTunes. Just type in NRL Supercoach. Follow us at Twitter, TigersMS78, Ty and Paulie G Sports. See you next week.